So 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I want you to see in particular in verse number 1. I want someone to read verse number 1, please. Jason?
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
Okay, and then please look at verse number 4 through 10. Who will read that? Will?
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
All right, so we see in verse number 9 that there's this thing known as the gift of healing. All right, so we're going to talk about Mary Baker Eddy for just a few moments, and we're going to talk about what she proposes is her gift of healing. Bottom of page 183, Eddy wrote to the New York Sun, December 19, 1898. She says, "I challenge the world to disprove what I hereby declare. After my discovery of Christian Science, I healed consumption in the last stages that the medical doctors, by verdict of stethoscope and the schools, declared incurable, the lungs being mostly consumed. I healed malignant tubercular diphtheria and curious bones that could be dented by the finger, saving them when the surgeon's instruments were lying on the table ready for the amputation. I have healed at one visit cancer that had so eaten the flesh of the neck as to expose the jugular vein so that it stood out like a cord." So she healed all these folks. Certainly there's documentation. Notice that Mrs. Eddy gives no particulars here, no names of patients, no localities, no dates or witnesses, or we might say no hospitals. Indeed, the only persons who ever witnessed her miraculous cures were either lackeys of Eddy's without medical training to justify their diagnosis of disease, or Christian Scientists of another era who unfortunately believe as God breathed truth any claim that either Eddy or her contemporary worshipers conjured up. So here again, no proof of these amazing healings. Look down to the next paragraph. To begin with, it should be realized in the process of investigating Eddy's healing claims that she refused outright to treat identical cases of disease she claimed to have cured. Even when a prominent Cincinnati physician offered her every such opportunity, Eddy remained strangely silent. Indeed, she never mentioned the issue again. You'll notice down there the name of the doctor in the footnote, the date, and the writing of the article. This is hardly the attitude one would expect from an alleged successor to Jesus Christ. The foregoing is only one fact of a large number that prove beyond doubt that Eddy did not heal as she claimed. During her long life, Eddy allowed her own little granddaughter, her beloved brother Samuel's wife, and her close friend Joseph Armstrong all to die painful deaths of cancer, pneumonia, and whatever that is, pleurisy. I'm going with it. And never, to any known evidence of the contrary, did she ever lift her healing hand to save them. Contrary-wise, we read the Gospels and we find that Jesus was healing all manner of sickness, it says. And people would touch just the hem of his garment and they'd be healed. So we're going to talk for just a few minutes on this gift of healing. Can God heal? That is a good question, isn't it? And anyone who believes that God answers prayer would say what?
Yes.
Sure. We would say that God heals. Often he does so with medical technology. We in America are somewhat at a disadvantage in one regard. We don't behold many miraculous things, quite frankly, because we don't need to. That's just really the bottom line. Either we don't feel like we need God all that much up in our life, or medical science has determined that much of what has been cured can be cured. Here's the thing that people don't deal with very well. Death is coming for everybody. Everyone is going to face it if the rapture does not first occur. So here we have this gift of healing. The question is, did Paul have a gift of healing? Does anyone? I mean, isn't he the one who wrote this 1 Corinthians? Who do you write it to? The Church of Corinth, right? So let's look at Acts chapter 20. Let's get just maybe a cross-section of Paul's healing ministry. Acts chapter number 20. I want you to see he did more than heal. He did more than heal. Acts chapter number 20. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 28 and then further. So we're going to look at five passages of Scripture. I want you to make a note of it, and I want you to make a little note by each one of them. All right. So Acts chapter 20, Paul is traveling on his third missionary journey. Now, if you've got those three missionary journeys already straight in your mind on when they start and stop in the book of Acts, you know way more than I did at your age. Okay, so when I say third missionary journey, probably you just lost interest, but I pray not. In any case, he's traveling through what is now known as Turkey on his third missionary journey, and he is traveling. Please look at verse 6. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came in unto them to Troas in 5 days. So for 5 days about, they traveled across the Aegean Sea. Has anyone studied that in geography? The Aegean Sea. Yes. Good. Okay, so what do you have on the western side of the Aegean Sea? Yeah, Greece, right? Yep, that's one of the command way to go. All right, so look at verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. What do you think of that? All right. You're like, man, I hope no one preaches that long while I'm around. Verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber. So they're apparently in a loft somewhere where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, Luke didn't mind saying, this guy was long-winded that night. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So imagine them racing down the stairs, and Paul's probably like, what have I just done? And verse number 10, Paul went down and fell on him. Now, that doesn't mean, in your mind, you're probably thinking he ran out the door, someone forgot to pick up the Tonka truck, and Paul fell on this dude that just fell out of the third story window, okay? So it's not a good day for Eutychus. But that's not what it means. It means that Paul got on top of him, embraced him, and said, trouble not yourselves, his life is in him. And when he had therefore was come up again, he broke bread and had eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So Eutychus falls out of the third story window. They think he's dead. Paul says, ah, he's not dead. Okay, even if he went into some sort of coma, I'm thinking the dude has a broken bone of some kind, maybe a concussion, maybe a bad attitude, you know, something. But here there's talk that Paul, it seems, raised the kid from the dead, all right? Raised him from the dead. And so Paul seems to have a gift of healing of some sort. And we're not guessing here. Peter healed Tabitha, which is the church form of Dorcas, apparently, because she's named both of them in Acts. And so all through this book of Acts, Paul is healing. Look at chapter 28. I want you to see another example, and then I want to get to my point. All right? Acts chapter number 28. Last chapter of the book of Acts. And they are shipwrecked, for lack of a better term, on the island of Melita. Melita. Verse 1. When they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, this guy's got to be a murderer because the snake just found him. The gods are angry with him. Verse 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. So they're eyeballing him like, any moment now, Paul is done. But he didn't. He didn't get swollen. Some of you guys seem to come out of the gym. He didn't get all swelled. And he didn't fall down dead. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, okay, he's a god. You're talking about fickle. The gods are angry with him too. He's a god. Verse 7. In the same quarters or possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name is Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. I struggled with that. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Okay, so we have Paul healing Eutychus and Publius's father. You don't want to mispronounce that. Publius's father, all right? And we have two examples of Paul having this gift of healing. All right, so we have all the gifts, but definitely had the gift of healing. Now I want to show you something here. Some of you musical folks.
Yeah, right.
What is, yeah, except especially you. Over here, thanks, Will. What do you call this right here in the musical realm?
Crescendo.
Crescendo. And then what do you call this?
Decrescendo.
So I want you to see something right here. You might want to write down. It's up to you. Probably 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 22 is a good place to talk. It says, the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but believers are affected through the preaching of the word. So, there are these three groups known in the Bible. You have Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. And the church is made up of all believers. So, you have this thing known as sign gifts. Sign gifts that Paul tells you at the beginning of 1 Corinthians are for the Jews. It's for the Jews. The Jews were people that had to have signs. Remember, it started way on back, maybe before, but definitely with Moses. Moses goes and tries to convince the Jews who are in Egypt, hey, I'm God's messenger, here's how I can prove it to you. You know, he does the whole leper's hand thing, he does the snake on the rod on the ground becomes a snake, right? Remember all those signs that he did? And so the Jewish people became quite accustomed to signs. So the reason Jesus came to do miracles was not so that people could feel good about who he was. It wasn't, oh, what a healer, man, what my hero. No, that's not it. The reason he came doing signs is because he came as the second Moses. He came as the one who did signs and gifts. Okay, so these gifts became more and more as you're getting close, more and more into this area known as the church age. Now, somewhere in here, the church age is in full force, and we have a completed Bible, okay? In other words, most all the Christians in the world are non-Jews, and we have a completed Bible. But there's an area in here where it was not so. It wasn't like that at all. You have this time where in the book of Acts, you have this transition between the apostles going just after Jews to going after Jews and Gentiles to going after just Gentiles. Got it? Well, if the Jews are the one who require the signs, then eventually, if God is slowly but surely turning his attention towards the Gentiles, that means that since the Gentiles aren't the ones that require the signs, what should you expect?
The signs to go away.
The signs seem to go away. So, here we have a decrescendo. We have this increase of the frequency and intensity of the sign gifts. And after God turns his back, so to speak, on the Jews for just a little while, these gifts become less and less. I want to show you that in the New Testament. I don't want you taking my word for it. Who cares what I think if it's not from the Bible, right? So, over here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I want you to notice something. I'm going to show you three places. All right, so we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want you to see, please, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 7. I need someone to read, please, verse 7 through 12. Who will do it? Over here, Nicolette.
Unless I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, but the messenger of Satan buffeted me, lest I should exalt above measure. For this thing I besought in the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly there will I glory in the infirmities of the great power of Christ may rest upon you. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have nothing commended of you. For in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I do nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, and all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds.
Thank you. Now, I want you to notice two key issues from this passage. All right. Number one, what does it say, Jason, from verse 12 about Paul? That Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, the question is, Let's bring it back over to the young man, Jason Stubbs. This thorn in the flesh that Paul had, does it tell us what it is? Okay, that's true. Now, does it tell us whether he was healed or not? Somewhere in that passage. Does it tell us whether or not he was healed of this thorn in the flesh?
Yes.
Okay, it does tell us. What does it say about it? What clue do you have from verse 9, Amanda, that he did not get healed? He asked three times to be healed from this thorn in the flesh.
You can tell because it says my strength is in my weakness.
Well, he says that Jesus answered particularly. What did he say? Huh?
In my infirmity.
Okay, we're in verse 9, but he said to me. So Paul says in verse number 8, I besought the Lord. In verse 9, but he said to me. What did he say to Paul? Over here, Morgan, you want to take another shot?
Sure.
All right.
He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in thee.
Right, so the Lord responded to Paul, you're not getting healed, stop asking. Well, we have an apostle, according to verse number 12, which is the second point I want you to see. We have an apostle, his badge, the thing that he flashes on his uniform, so to speak, is, hey, I did the signs among you. I'm an apostle. You know I'm an apostle because I did apostolic things. Over here, we had apostles doing apostolic things. And eventually, they weren't doing them anymore. So one thing we know, 2 Corinthians was probably written after Acts 28. Probably. Or else close to it. Because Paul couldn't even heal himself. So why is Mary Baker Eddy, didn't she die of something? Oh, hello? If she's the successor of Christ, then she should still be alive somewhere. But in her mind, of course, she is. You know, she's in the realm of the real somewhere. So here's Paul, the great miracle worker. He couldn't even heal himself. Let's move forward. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, a book that we are fully aware. 1 Timothy chapter 5, because you have been through New Testament survey, I'm sure you remember that 1 Timothy was written after Acts. So we already see that Paul could not heal himself. What else do we see? In 1 Timothy chapter number 5, we see Paul talking to Timothy in verse number 23. Why couldn't Paul just say, Timothy, rise up and walk, your stomach is swell, everything is great, you're good to go? No, he gives him a medical treatment. Paul couldn't heal himself and Paul couldn't heal Timothy. So there was a time when these gifts decrescendoed. And the further they got from going right after Jews to going to Jews and Gentiles, to the Jew first, but to the Gentiles also, and then they went to going to Gentiles, the gifts went away. Why did the gifts go away? Because their purpose was to do what? Reach or minister or assign to the Jews. Righto. Good. Definitely wrote after 2 Corinthians. He couldn't heal Timothy. Now I want to show you one more. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, one book forward. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And verse number 20. He's closing out his letter. He's mentioning all kinds of people to Timothy that Timothy would know. Someone read 2 Timothy 4:20. All right, so there's this guy named Trophimus that used to travel with Paul. And Paul said, the guy was so sick I had to leave him where he was. That signs are becoming less and less. This is not the same Paul that walked down from the loft and had no doubt in his mind that he was going to get Eutychus. It's not the same healing Paul is what I mean. It's the same guy. It's not the same healing Paul, the same guy endowed with tremendous amounts of gifts that went over and healed Publius' father. Okay, we're talking about the same biographical figure, but just not the same man that he used to be. And it's not because he's weak. It's because not in his gifting or in his calling as an apostle. It just means that the role was changing. Well, he did say that he is not too exalted because in 2 Corinthians 12, I don't want to be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation is what he said. Now, in the context, he's dealing with the fact that he was caught up to heaven and he couldn't talk about it. But he seems to be saying that I was bringing gifts, I was healing folks, I was speaking in tongues, I was doing signs and wonders and diverse miracles, I was doing all these things, and Christ was trying to get me to see that I wasn't strong then, I was strong when I was weak, and so he gave me a thorn in the flesh. So apparently Paul was struggling with, I don't know, a pride problem, I don't know, but definitely an issue where he thought he was strong because he was doing these apostolic things. Now, because I don't want to load your boat too much, I do want you to see that over there in that other end of the parentheses, you're going to see another set of crescendo. You're going to see another set. Why? Because eventually, that parentheses, the church age, is going to be done, and God's turning his mind back to the Jews.